All right. Well, thank you for being here today with us. It's good to see you all. I don't know about you guys, but this morning I was driving into to church and just thinking how precious it is that we get to do this. And just personally was thinking how precious each of you are. I don't know if you realize that, but if you have faith in Christ, you are eternally precious. God says that you shine like the stars in the heavens, which means that you're rare. I don't know if you've thought, anybody think about space much? You probably have better things to do than I do, I guess. I'm a little bit nerdy, but I think about things like this. But do you know how big space is? It's massive, right? Like it's just empty, and scientists talk about it like this huge vacuum. And then every once in a while, there's this really rare, glorious, burning ball demonstrating God's created glory. So God is saying that like in the midst of everything in the universe, you shine before him like a star in the midst of emptiness. And I was just thanking God for your lives and the things that he's doing in each of you. So thank you for being part of our church family. And praise God that he has made you alive in Christ and that he counts you as eternally good and precious. Each life is precious before God. And those who are redeemed in Christ will have his glory forever. So it's a good thing. Anyway, I digress. So we are in the middle of a sermon series called Rhythms of Grace, and thanks to power outage last week, we're going to pause at the beginning of December and finish this in the new year, which I was hoping not to do, but I like Advent. Anybody like preparing for Christmas? And I don't like ignoring things like that, and so we're going to have to end this after next Sunday and wrap up after the new year. But that's okay. God has good plans, and we're going to follow his lead on that. But we'll have to kind of remind you then, like, what we were doing. But I had a good conversation with somebody a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was just last week after church, and he just said, can you help me understand where you're going with all this? Like, what is this sermon series about? Like, it's a little different than I think of approaching God. So, and then I started to think about that, and I went, that makes sense. I tend to think of things, I'm a conceptual thinker and not necessarily a linear thinker. So the way I think is it's more like a molecule is formed. So there's like, you know, the nucleus of the molecule and all these things, this electron cloud floating around on the outside. And all of a sudden I'm like, it's water, you know, and like everybody else builds water by, you know, taking like two hydrogen atoms and connecting it to two existing oxygen atoms in a linear fashion. And I'm like, no, that's not how we're going to build this today. We're going to collide things until it comes together. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about this and help kind of lay the land here. So one of the things that we tend to do as believers is to focus on the areas of life that help us grow in our faith. And we tend to talk about those things like spiritual disciplines, and we insert those into our week. And some of us are more disciplined than others in our lives. Like some of us, our spiritual discipline is coming to church on Sunday. Okay, so then there's like, you know, 90 minutes where we come and we have our Jesus time, and we're like, yes, I got my Jesus time this week, and then I'm going to look forward to that next week. And then some of us have grown from there, and then we do like daily devotions. And so at some point in time, maybe in the morning or in the evening or on our lunch break, we get into God's Word and we pray that God would teach us, and we read a little bit of chunk of God's Word, and we pray about the things that God pointed out. Or maybe you do like Our Daily Bread, which is a simple devotional pamphlet, and it's available in the foyer, and lots of people are blessed by that. And it's just this daily connection with God. And then there are other people, they have a discipline of like singing or worshiping as part of their day each day, and they find a couple of worship songs that are significant to them, and they purchase them, or they make a Spotify playlist, and they worship on their own to God. Or some people have a pattern of serving others, right? There's all sorts of ways where we can seek to engage God's grace, and those are really good, and they season our lives with the grace of God. And that's amazing. How many of you like spicy food? Yeah, I like spicy food too. So if you're going out to a meal and it's not spicy enough, what do you do? Yeah, you add like a sauce, you add like a dash of something hot. We had dinner with friends this week, and our friends, they like spicy food, but it was a combined gathering, and so they didn't make the spaghetti sauce spicy. But then my friend brought out this ghost pepper dust, you know, and I was like, You know, so I had like ghost pepper spaghetti. I think it only existed in Surfside on Tuesday night, right? The only place in the world serving ghost pepper spaghetti. And it was delicious. And I finished the meal and I was like, that was good spice. But if you like spicy food and you're cooking for yourself and other people that like spice, what do you do from the start? Spice all the way through it, right? And so there's two different ways of approaching spice. You can either put it at the end or you can start it at the beginning. Well, those disciplines of grace are like adding the spice of Jesus to your life throughout your week. This soup of my week doesn't have enough Jesus pepper in it, and so I'm going to sprinkle, you know, resurrection pepper, let's call it, on my life in this moment. But this is actually stepping back from that and saying, you know what, guys? We don't just have to add Jesus into our life a little bit at a time. All of our life can be shaped with the resurrection spice of Jesus. That every aspect of our being and our doing can be flavored with Jesus from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep, from the moment that we realize this to the time they lay us down in our graves and we see Jesus face to face. All of our life can be shaped by the rhythms of God's favor and love towards us. That's the heart of this sermon series. Now, this is different because I'm not just teaching you a principle of a passage. I'm not just walking through a book of the Bible with you, which I love to do. That's actually my favorite type of preaching, is expository preaching, where we're just walking logically through God's Word, explaining what it means verse by verse or chunk by chunk. Instead, we're stepping back and we're looking at bigger concepts, building blocks of life. And it's not just that God is teaching you to think about His Word or moments in your life, it's that God is bringing us into a philosophy of living that is centered on Jesus. And that's a little more challenging. Many of us don't think philosophically. Our whole life is not geared to thinking philosophically. You know, if you're a cereal eater, you don't go to the cereal aisle and look at the cereal through the lens of philosophy. You're not like, do I feel more like Cocoa Puffs or Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Actually, I think my body's telling me I am actually Rice Krispies. There's a lot of snapping, crackling, and popping in these decades. And so I'm going to lay these things aside. I'm going to grab a hold of this body. You know, you just don't. Life doesn't leave moments where we think about things in this way, philosophically engaging us and sort of sorting out how we think all of life should be. But that's what this sermon series is. And so it's not just that you can come and receive like a nice message and say, that was good, and I have like, you know, these couple little areas in my life where I can add some Jesus resurrection powder and get a little more grace. It's more like, is my life aligned with the grace of God? Am I hearing the rhythms of God's goodness in my everyday living? Am I connecting the fact that God is my Father and I am adopted into His family, and so I have rhythms of love in the way I live every day? Am I connected with the Son, and do I hear the rhythm of Him as He serves me and calls me into serving others? Do I see the way that God has arranged a heartbeat in every human life around the globe from the beginning of time until eternity? And am I living with that heartbeat? This is different thinking in a way. So sometimes when I get in these veins of thinking with the Lord, I go, Lord, I feel like a hippie right now. You know, like I just... Like, what do you have me on right now? Because this just feels weird. Can we go back to like just simple explaining your word to people? And he's like, no, I want you as a church to be thinking differently about doing life and doing life together with me and with each other and the rhythms of living as a church family. And so we're just in a little bit different spot. So if this is not your favorite, thank you for being patient. And if this is your favorite, thank you for being patient the rest of the time when we're, you know, teaching in a different way or learning in a different way. So today we're on a new rhythm of grace, a rhythm of grace that is all about something that we do all the time, but my presentation tool isn't working. Dawn, could you click to the next slide? Maybe it's on the one that cancels it all out. All right, that'll work. We just did that. That. Hey, we're eating. It's working. So today we're talking about eating. Anybody enjoy eating? Me too. Yeah. How many times do you think you ate last week? A lot, right? Like if you add it all up, you know, we probably at least eat 21 times a week, right? But then there's like snacks. Yeah, and then there's, I don't know what you call it, but there's the candy bowl, right? That's not really a snack. It's just like a bonus eating moment, and sometimes you want to eat, so you grab a glass of water or a stick of gum because it's not time to eat again yet, but you kind of got that little craving. Have you ever wondered why God made it so that you needed to eat? I mean, every human life needs food, and every human life, if it's a healthy human life, gets food in the same way, right? It goes into your body through your mouth, and you digest the food, and it strengthens and it nourishes you, and God made it that way from the beginning of time. I mean, if you think about it, God could have made us like cars. Like, how does your car eat? Gas station, right? You like open up the mouth of the car, and you like unscrew the mouth guard, and you plunk it in, and you just fill it up, and then you go for hundreds of miles. Like, why didn't God make us that way? That somehow there's just like this food port somewhere, you know, on the side in the trunk area. You just get filled up and you don't have to worry. It's just much more utilitarian. Or think about this. When we're in heaven, how is our time in heaven going to start? With a big meal, right? With the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we celebrate God's grace together. How big is that table going to be, by the way? My goodness, like there's just everywhere. There's just going to be food and celebration everywhere. And it's styled after a wedding in Israel. And so it's a feast that's going to last for weeks, probably weeks of weeks, where everyone is together celebrating and eating. So even after we are glorified, once we are perfected, what are we still going to do? We're going to eat. And I think we're going to eat really well, by the way. I think it's going to be very satisfying. So why did God make it so that every human would eat, could eat, will eat forever? I think it's ultimately that it's as we eat, eating is a rhythm that expresses our faith in God. I'm going to unpack this a little bit and develop it a little bit more. But when eating is a rhythm of grace for a believer, then it is an expression of your faith in God. Now, I know that kind of varies because I have worshipped at the Golden Arches before. Anybody else done this? You know, it's like you're hungry and there's just one convenient place with a drive-through, and you go there and you're like hoping it's going to be excellent, and it's McDonald's. And so you chose this, right? Like no one held a gun to your head and made you, they didn't hijack you through the drive-through, right? And so you get through the drive-through, and you're eating your chicken nuggets or your quarter pounder with cheese or your mediocre blended coffee beverage, and you're like in there. But you know what? God provided that meal for you. And then how many of you have sat down at a table like this that someone has prepared for you a meal of elegance and excellence? And it's not your Chevy or your Ford or your Nissan that you're sitting in. It's someone's home, and you walk up to the table and you are like, wow, like who am I? Because yesterday I was eating food that critics won't critique, you know? And today I'm sitting at a table that's fit for a king, that's been lavished with an abundance of food, and I can choose. There's so much food, I can choose my favorites, and I can go back for more of that. And it's a table laid with love for you. What's interesting is that both of these express our faith in God by recognizing God's providence for us. Because God has richly blessed us with abundance on this earth so that everyone can eat. And I know that's a hard statement because not everybody around the world gets to eat every day, but I understand from things that I've read that there's a super abundance of food on the earth, and the fact that some people don't eat and other people have too much has to do with our hearts, not God's provision. So everybody can have this beautiful table laid before them. And what is it like to eat this meal compared to that meal in your front seat, you know, with fries falling down next to your seat that the detailer is going to pull out next April? You know, what's that like? How does this compare? Which one would you rather eat? How many of you would rather have the chicken nuggets by yourself and the seagulls? How many of you would rather have this one? Yeah, it's good. But God is still providing in both places. God, like I said, set this down in the beginning. So one of the things that I think it's important we talk about this is that as someone is teaching to you things about Jesus or God, you should be looking in God's Word to understand them. And so today our main passage is going to be in Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus is eating and people are confused because he's eating in a different way. And he is actually saying, the way I'm eating expresses more faith in God than the way that you think I should eat. And then we're also going to look back through sort of a history of eating in the Bible and see that this is the way that God ordained it to be from the beginning of time. And so in Matthew chapter 9, we read this story about Jesus and him eating at someone's house. But before we get into the text, let's take a moment and pray for our time learning together. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. Thank you that you are good to us and that you love us and you provide for us daily what we need to be kept alive physically. But Father, as we talk about eating, we do also want to recognize that, as Jesus said, as it says in Deuteronomy, that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. And so as we're in your word, Father, would you be nourishing us spiritually? Would you be teaching us and strengthening us so that we have the faith to stand and walk with you on this earth? And Father, I pray for those who are hearing because they're desperate and hungry for you. And I thank you for them, Father, because they are going to be satisfied by you today as they seek after you. And I pray for us, Father, for those of us who are full right now. We're not ready to hear more. Help us, Father, to obey what you have already told us. And Father, would you be enlivening us with a greater hunger for you that we might be satisfied like those who are ready to listen? We thank you for these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 9, we have Jesus hanging out with a guy named Matthew. So we're in the Gospel of Matthew, and we're actually at the point where Matthew comes to know Jesus. And many of you might know this, but what was Matthew's profession before he came to know Jesus? He was a tax collector, okay? So the IRS agents kind of get like a bad rap in America, but it's like an honest job, and the taxes are laid out clearly. Well, all right. But compared to the way other taxes are laid out, it's quite clear, okay? It's like at least written down and voted on, even if it wasn't voted on by you. But in Jesus' days, tax collection was done by natives on behalf of a ruling government that was oppressive over the people in their native land. So, you know, in Israel, it was done by Jews, and in Egypt, it was done by Egyptians. And so what the Romans did is they put tax collection out to bid. And if you were bidding on tax collection, you were buying the rights to collect taxes over a region, but that also made you a government enforcer and a co-oppressor. And the thing is that the Romans didn't pay you. They paid you like the mob pays itself, right? So you would get to collect bonuses on the taxes. And so basically it was tax by force. And if the tax collector thought that he could get more money from you, then he would take more money from you. And if his boot on your neck wasn't enough to help you remember why you're paying, the Romans are going to help you with a spear on the other side of the neck to remind you why you're paying these taxes. And so Matthew was the kind of guy who saw a financial opportunity and took it, even if it was going to hurt his very own family. He betrayed his own people, and he did it to get rich. And you know what? He got rich. He would have been wealthy.